Joining us now in the studio, WTIP's Jay Anderson.
And with me is ISD 166 Superintendent Beth Schwartz. Good morning.
Morning, Jay.
Been having a lot of meetings this week. A work session on Monday and a school board meeting on Tuesday. And I know there were a lot of issues at that meeting, but let's first of all talk about the options that remain on the table for reductions into administration. I know they're complicated, but briefly, what are they?
Jay, our situation at ISD 166, first I just want to stress that we again really appreciate the voter support that we had last fall and we passed the levy. And throughout this whole process of reductions, one of the most important things we can do is do our best to stay calm, not panic, and try not to let the emotions get to us. I find myself in a rather strange position of talking about reducing my own position, which is needless to say, stressful, but a conversation that needs to be had, and the board needs to look at where we're going as a district. Administration is often easy to attack because of the amount of money that is spent there, and yet at the same time, we know it's a very important piece of a school system and the leadership that's needed. But with that said, we also know what we're paying for our entire, what we would call our administrative slash support staff, so our secretarial staff. And we've also included the school counselor in this discussion because it's a position that's not directly, it's not a teaching position and would fall underneath that category of support for our students. And our Dean of Students is also included in this conversation. And when we look at overall what we are spending, not just in salaries, but the numbers we've actually put out there have salaries, you know, FICA, all the reductions and or deductions that the taxes take and what the school district has to put in for that. When we look at that and we look at the board's very strong commitment to protect programming as much as possible in the classroom and the services we provide students, we've decided that we do in fact need to seriously look at some major reductions in those areas. There's two, we've actually had several meetings. At one point we had seven options we were looking at. We chose not to take those directly to the public just because of the confusion factor and not exactly knowing where things, and a lot of the scenarios were very close in configuration to each other. We've narrowed the seven scenarios down to two at this point. It's also important to realize that the scenarios we're looking at are not going into effect in the fall of 2011. We're trying to do this very carefully, very thoughtfully, and so we're looking at this a year out. So I, again, trying to remain calm and understand, I want the community to understand the board is looking at this very carefully, very seriously. I think you're fortunate to have a very good board in place that is really trying to do their very, very best in a very difficult school funding situation. But we are left with two options on the table right now. One would incorporate a half-time superintendent and a full-time K-12 principal. I'm not going to go into details in the other pieces. Those are kind of the two main positions right now that are kind of out there and being discussed. The other scenario would combine principal duties with the superintendent duties and put in place an assistant principal. And so those are the two main kind of school leadership positions that are being considered. And again, the board is really carefully looking at what that means legally, what that means as far as school leadership. It's a big discussion. It's going to go on, I think, for a while before we actually have a decision made.
And there's a couple of steps ahead. One, I understand, is a meeting on April 28th where your five teams that you've set up that are made up of both the staff people and members of the community, they're going to meet and talk about this.
That's correct. When I came on board in 2009, one of the major pieces the board wanted me to work on was bringing community members back into school leadership and re-engaging the community. And we have five leadership teams in place, which, like as you mentioned, involve both school staff but also members of the community. One of the members of the team, John Gruber, came in to the board meeting during community comments and asked that they be allowed to engage the board in discussion regarding these very important decisions, and I commend John for that. He did that on his own, and I think was a very wise move. We set these teams up to help lead the district, and I think that this is a very wise decision. Teams can get together, see who's been involved, and engage the board in that discussion.
Then you're going to have a public meeting, a community forum, and that's scheduled, I guess, for the 4th of May.
That's correct. So we do want the public's input on this information and feedback. These are very, very, very hard decisions. And there's going to be a decision eventually made, and some people are going to like that decision, and some people are going to not like that decision. And it's human nature when your decision is, or your choice is not chosen, that you want to say, I wasn't listened to. But I can assure you the board feels very strongly and believes very strongly that they do want to listen to what community members have to say on this issue. And I assure anybody who takes the time to attend this meeting, you will be listened to. But again, being listened to does not necessarily mean that everybody gets their first choice, because the fact of the matter is we have two choices, which could still be modified. Nothing is set in stone, and the board will have a very difficult decision to make. But that decision will not be made because they chose not to listen to people. Mm-hmm. They will have to take everything into account when they make that decision.
One of the things that I've heard and has been asked of me here in the news department is, what exactly did the district promise the public if they would pass the referendum? I know that that's been a part of the statements that have been made, that there were promises made to the community if the community backed the operating levy. So what are we talking about? What kind of promises were made?
During the levy presentations, we made several promises, and we are doing our very best to keep them. One is to protect electives as much as possible and bring our industrial arts back to a full time. That has been done. We are aiming at keeping our K-2 classes small, and we have not set our class sizes for next year, but we are trying very, very hard to get K-2 down to reasonable sections, including a discussion of whether or not we need to have two kindergarten sections. We have put some money into facilities and working with Mike Groth, the transportation facilities director, to look at, you know, what maintenance the building needs. We have made a commitment to early childhood and have been working with our early childhood coordinator, Lynn Shields, as we try, and our preschool instructors in the area, Eric Frost, also had conversations with Birch Grove and GES on our early childhood needs. But I think one area I'd really like to clean up is the conversation over what is called measures of academic progress testing. There was, I think, some confusion on that. In December, keeping with the levy promises, the board agreed to spend $155,000 over the next 18 months to really put in a data-driven instruction initiative. The cost of the tests is a very, very small portion of that. The tests actually are probably around the $8,000 mark. So where is the rest of that $155,000 going? It is going for teacher training. It is going, perhaps most importantly, to designing and implementing some major student intervention pieces, including some unique summer opportunities that are going to be coming up that we're not ready to roll out quite yet, including having math and English or language arts intervention in our middle school next year, which is something we've never done, actually dedicated time to do that. So I really want to stress that the commitment that was made was investment in academic excellence. We remain committed to that, and we'll continue to follow down that path as we promised voters we would.
And all this costs money.
And it does.
I guess the question out there is the district balancing its budget on the back of the administration?
I think that's a strong statement. I think the administration, we really need to look at what we're doing. I pulled a lot of data together from schools our size, and we can reconfigure administration and be more efficient and more effective. We can do that. Of course, the bigger conversation is, you know, how do we do that? And that's where all of this emotion comes in. So that is something that needs to be done. The other bigger picture that we really haven't stressed, because again, throughout this process, we want to remain transparent, we want to engage the community, and yet we know the state of the school districts in Minnesota. It's like it's been year after year after year, and you feel like everything is so doom and gloom, and you know, and there's a lot of really good things going on, but one of the very difficult facts in Cook County is that our enrollment projections are still looking not good for ISD 166. And the total number that is out there when our levy expires in 2015 is around that $800,000 mark, $600,000 to $800,000. So put your head in the sand and ignore that issue and not do anything? Or do you take a proactive approach and say, now look, you know, we've got to look 5 years ahead. We can't guarantee our voters are going to vote yes again. The levy vote was very close. We believe the community really supports the school, but we also understand there's a lot of issues that people have to take into account. I don't know what the economy is going to be in 5 years any more than anybody else does. So we want to count on a levy renewal, but you can't do that. And so you've got to look ahead and say, we're going to have flat funding. The levy's in place for 5 years. How are we going to prepare from going from about 480 students down to 420 over the next, you know, 3 to 4 years, and plan for that? And so planning for that means having some very hard discussions now. Not implementing too fast. Again, this is not going to be implemented in the fall of 2011, but talking ahead a year to the fall of 2012. And if by some miraculous intervention our funding picture looks better, the board can always say, you know what, great, we don't have to do this. But the facts that aren't before us now suggest that we need to really look seriously at this. And nobody can be, including the superintendent, can be so emotional that my job has to be full-time. I mean, I can't be that stubborn about this. My goal is to lead the school. That's what we need to do.
Well, we will certainly follow this as these various meetings and discussions continue. We've been talking with ISD 166 Superintendent Beth Schwartz. Thanks for stopping by.
You bet, Jay. Have a good day.